Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Masters on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm glad you've joined me this morning. My name is Chris McElyea, your host, and we are going to spend time in God's Word this morning as we continue our ongoing study of the Old Testament in 2017. Today we're going to be in the Psalms. We'll be looking at Psalms 82 and 83. Before we begin, though, we do want to mention a few things that are going on around us. And one of those is right now, this week, is the last session at Camp Ida for this year for young people. And though it is too late to go this year, we do hope that you'll be making plans for your young people to attend next year. Camp Ida is a Christian youth camp that with the theme of growing in wisdom and stature. It is overseen by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And the camp is located near Maud, Texas. And next year, if you have questions about the camp or an interest, we urge you to call the camp director, Brother Richard Rutledge, at 903-434-3072. Now, there will be other events through the coming months, and we urge you to stay tuned for those as we have announcements. We know there will be various retreats coming up at the camp through the remainder of the year. Now, the summer lecture series for the Mount Vernon Church of Christ is ongoing on Wednesday nights through the summer. And yesterday, our speaker was Brother John McCormack from Atlanta, Texas. We've been studying the book of Hebrews this summer, and this coming week, July the 12th, the speaker will be Brother Chris Grota from the Brother Jim Laws from the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas, over Hebrews 6. And then in the coming weeks, Brother Chris Grota will speak on Hebrews 7. Brother J.J. Hendricks, Hebrews 8. Brother Andy Baker, Hebrews 9. Brother Jeff Blanton, Hebrews 10. Brother Phil Hancock, Hebrews 11. Brother Brian Bordeaux, Hebrews 12. And Brother Neil Thurman on Hebrews 13. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ is located at 708 West Main Street in Mount Vernon, Texas. For more information or directions to our summer series, you can call us at 903-537-4129. Now also, a couple of other events coming up a little farther out there, and one of those is coming up July 23rd through the 27th, and that is the annual Power Lectures at the South Haven Church of Christ in South Haven, Mississippi. This year's theme is the end of time. And for more information, you can call 662-393-2610. That's 662-393-2610. And be sure to mark your calendars a little further out than that, and that is August 18th to the 24th. And that is the annual Polishing the Pulpit in Sevierville, Tennessee. For more information concerning Polishing the Pulpit, they have a great deal of information on the website at polishingthepulpit.com. And hopefully you can make plans to be in Sevierville, Tennessee that week for Polishing the Pulpit. Okay, that's what we have on our bulletin board this morning. So now we want to turn our attention to our ongoing study this year of the Old Testament. And today we're going to look at Psalm 82 and Psalm 83. Psalm 82 has the heading, A Plea for Justice, and is noted as a psalm of Asaph. Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Now again, the 82nd Psalm is a Psalm of Asaph. And this Psalm was written as a response to the corruptness of many of the civil judges of those early days. Asaph instructs of the need of justice and fairness by rulers and magistrates. And so we find this psalm is quite timely and relevant as we are living in a day when authorities are turning away from and ignoring the precepts and principles which the Lord God has set for man to live by and be governed by. Man is certainly doomed to failure when such occurs, if it is left unrepentant of among the nations. In this psalm, we see God indict against the judges of the land. God teaches the judges of the land and a prayer for righteousness to reign. In verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. God is over and above the mighty of this world. He stands above them. God is supreme, and the kings and governors of this world answer to him. The rulers of the world are referred to as little g gods in several places in the scriptures. God is here pictured as the King of Kings, and he judges their actions in the way they conduct and rule in the nations. All of the earthly powers are only in place because they are ordained of God, and they will give account to the King of Kings for their reigns over men. Verse 2 says, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked, Selah? The question is put forth to the earthly magistrates. How long will you administer judgment corruptly? How long will you show favoritism through bribes and favors and such wickedness? It is sad that we see this increasing daily in our legal system, and unless it is changed, we will find out sooner or later that God will not tolerate this indefinitely. Verse 3 says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. God charges those in positions of authority and power to have compassion upon the poor and to defend those who cannot defend themselves, to care for the orphan and widow, and to do good toward them. The afflicted and the needy are to be given a fair shot by rulers. This does not mean to give unending benevolence to those parts of society that will continually refuse to help themselves. This is instead to do justice, to make sure that the afflicted and the needy are not abused or defrauded. But instead, make sure that those who have no ability to support themselves be taken care of, and that those who have the ability to help themselves will not be denied the opportunity. Verse 4 says, deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. God will judge those kings and rulers that oppress the poor and the needy. Rulers should be a protector of the poor and the needy that are under their rule. They should free them from oppression. And good rulers will deal sternly with the one who oppresses. Rulers cannot turn a blind eye toward the plight of the needy or look the other way at the oppression of the helpless. Verse 5 says, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Woe to those judges and rulers that live without concern nor with desire to know and understand and help the helpless. They walk about in darkness. They are content to just sweep the problem under the rug. They have no desire to be a force for good among their people. When rulers are of this disposition, it is evidence of the unstable foundations of a society. Great and powerful nations usually meet their doom through internal decay. They rot from the inside out. Indifferent governance is certainly a sign of such corruption taking place. In verse 6, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. God points out to rulers that they have a highly esteemed position among men. They have great authority and responsibility. They are like little g gods to the people. But they must understand that they are still just men and are children, as all of us are, of the Most High. They have a great responsibility to administer justice in an upright manner and to make righteous judgments. Verse 7, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Rulers are not gods, contrary to what Kim Jong-un says. They also will go the way of all men and return to the dust from which they came. Even the mightiest of princes of the earth will still face death. Verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. The psalmist Asaph petitions God to judge those rulers that will not rule in the ways of the Lord God. Indeed, God will inherit all nations, for they are His. And all nations are under His power and reign. God reigns over all nations, and all rulers will answer to God. And God desires the nations to remember the poor and the orphan and the widow, and to mete out justice with mercy and compassion. Oh, how there is such a need for godly rulers How great it would be if godly rulers would lead us to turn back, to again follow the ways of the Lord God, and to, as a nation, receive the blessings that God desires to heap upon nations that will make Him their God and follow Him. Psalm 83. The heading of this text is a prayer to frustrate conspiracy against Israel. A psalm of Asaph. Psalm 83. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Jabal, Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has also joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yes, all their princes like Zebah and Zalmunna, who said, Let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. As the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountain on fire, so pursue them with your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. In this psalm, in the first 8 verses, we see the uniting of God's enemies. We find that God's enemies are set upon trouble. Verse 1, Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. Those who oppose God are not content to just sit back, but instead are set upon causing trouble to the cause of God. Think of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in our land today. Those who bring lawsuits against any reminder of God in our society. We could include the American Atheist Society in this. Those enemies of ancient Israel had decided to remove Israel. And we see these groups just as set upon that today. Verse 3 says, They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and have consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Satan and his forces are working through the governmental authorities and individuals and are attempting to cut out the church from today's society. Think of the ideas of the separation of church and state today and what it has become. It was originally intended to provide freedom to worship, but not a state-sponsored religion that forced everyone to worship the same way. Somehow, our land today has gotten the idea that this means to completely keep religion out of life, specifically the Christian. There is great celebration of the Muslim religion, the Buddhist, the Hindu, but yet any mention of Christianity is considered a threat to the state in this day and age. Now back here in the days of the Old Testament, the enemies of God had formed a coalition of their forces, and we read of that picking up there in verse 5. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. But you know, this modern day is no different than those days of old. They formed a confederacy against God's people. And yet, even today, Satan has lined up a confederacy against the church of our Lord Jesus Christ and everything that is good. Think for just a moment of the forces that have been lined up and are set upon the complete dissolution of the church. Think of the homosexual lobby. It is a powerful lobby with great amounts of money. And they are set upon the destruction of the church, for it brings their darkness into the light, and they do not like that. Consider the atheistic lobby today. Oh, it is strong. It is powerful and has great amounts of money. They have infiltrated our educational system through the godless theory of evolution. They are seeking to remove every reference to God, whether it be the cornerstone of a building, the Bible, the public discourse. Any reference to God is the desire of theirs to be removed. Think of the powerful forces of addictive drugs. And yes, some are legal, some are illegal, but all of them used to further pull man from God. Think of the powerful alcohol lobby. Think of the forces, even in our small towns and communities. Here in the Northeast Texas area, I remember a day just 20 to 30 years ago when only a few, very few communities had approved the sale of alcoholic beverages, and those communities were generally thought of as being very rough towns and that you basically avoided. But now, virtually every community in the last few years has went to the polls and voted in favor of Satan, voted to bring the forces of alcohol into their communities in the name of economic prosperity. If you build your economy on vice, it is going to fail. Make no mistake, we reap what we sow. Consider the rise of Islam. And we could go on and on with various causes. Satan has aligned a very powerful group of forces, and they are all united in one aspect, and that is to defeat the power of God and His church. But God has dealt with such enemy through all the ages. God defeated the Midianites, Sisera, and Jabin. Verse 9, deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. God has dealt with others who sought to oppress the house of God, such as Oreb, Zeb, Zeba, Zalmunna, and others. Verse 11 says, make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. God has an abhorrence of such in men. Verse 13 says, O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. God will make them like the chaff in the wind, as a whirling cloud of dust. Verse 14 says, as the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, indeed, God will render such men as to be nothing more than firewood. So pursue them with your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. They will be like young children scared to death of the approaching storm in the night. Verse 16, fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish. They will be so ashamed that they will be humiliated to the point of dying in their shame. And most of all, they will know for sure that there is a God in Israel. Verse 18 says, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. And so as we reflect on this 83rd Psalm, we can see that man must never mistake the long-suffering and patience of God for lack of concern on the part of God. There are so many people today that live their lives feeling that they are getting away with doing this evil deed or that evil deed because they see no reaction from God. In fact, they are even still blessed with the general blessings of God that all men have. But God, though patient, will exact justice in the due moment and time. God is victorious over Satan. And God will cast all who oppose him into the lake of fire and brimstone at the appropriate time. When we consider the work of Satan and his followers, we might consider Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Indeed, God is going to bring judgment on those who have followed the ways of the prince of this world. This world is united against God. Nation after nation could be listed as those who no longer or never followed God. But isn't it great to know that though you may be one, if God is for us, who can be against us? David was victorious over Goliath when, by all reasonable thinking, he could not win. He was a young lad, small. Goliath, a great giant, a powerful warrior. Yet David defeated Goliath, and it was not because David was smarter, trickier, stronger, or lucky. He did it because God was with him. We have God on our side if we are obedient to him. And if God is on our side, Satan will have no power over us. Remember the words of James, to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Indeed, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. A little short this morning, but I'm glad that you joined me. Plenty of lessons here in Psalm 82 and Psalm 83. And I encourage you to tune in again tomorrow as Brother Grota and Hendricks will be with us for another edition of Mornings for the Master. I invite you to join me Friday at 11 a.m. for Studies in the Gospels, a walk through the life of Christ in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next Thursday at the same time here for another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. And so until next time, it's Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.